Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 18, where our Lord shares with us what's known as the parable of the unmerciful servant. Our Lord says that the servant was brought before the king, who, and owing the king a huge amount, said the translation that we read today, Matthew 18, 24. The original text actually says that the servant owed the king, a myriad of talents, literally 10,000 talents. 10,000 was the largest number in ancient Greek, and a talent was equal to 6,000 days' wages, so about 20 years' work. So if you do the math, you find that the debt was astronomical. Jesus is telling us that the servant's situation here is literally an impossible one, and it's a description of us before the Lord. There's no way we can pay the debt of our sins on our own, just like this servant before the king. In verse 26, Jesus says that the servant, quote, fell on his knees imploring the king for mercy. For those who have eyes to see, this is a beautiful image of the sacrament of confession, when we kneel down before God's representative, the priest, and we implore the Lord for forgiveness. Yes, it's true that only God can forgive sins, as the scribes and the Pharisees protested in Mark 2, verse 7, but it's also true that God can delegate that power if he so chooses, and he has chosen to do so. After the resurrection, we know Jesus said to the apostles, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained," John 20, verse 23, instituting there the sacrament of confession. The servant here begs the king to be patient with him, and in his boundless mercy, the king actually forgives the whole debt, verse 27. And then what happens? The servant goes out and he bumps into someone who owes him 100 days' wages. He grabs that person by the throat, literally a very graphic image there, and he says, "Pay what you owe me," verse 28. And see how that other servant responded? He kneels down and falls down before the man, just like the man had done before the king. And he begs him for mercy and patience. The first debtor refuses to have mercy on that person. Question, is there anyone in our lives who we're refusing to be merciful towards? What do we pray the prayer? When we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, what do we say? We say, "Father, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." That's how the prayer reads in Luke 11, verse 4. As one commentator notes, however, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to forgo all of our just rights, either in injuries done to our character or even to our property. So it doesn't mean that if someone steals from me, then I can't try to get back what I stole. It doesn't mean that. Or if they owe me money, then I can't or shouldn't ask it back for them. It doesn't necessarily mean that, or things of that nature. But I still need to forgive them. We'll come back to forgiveness in a moment. The king in the story gets wind of what this servant has done to his fellow servant, and he summons the first servant back and into his presence, and in anger he throws him into prison, quote, "till he should pay all his debt," says our Lord in Matthew 18, 34. That means never, by the way. You can't pay off 200,000 years of debt. You can't do that. The king even calls the servant wicked, something he didn't do when he first spoke to the servant. At that time, he had compassion on him. Here he calls him wicked, and this time he doesn't even let the servant speak and try to defend himself. The medieval commentator Remigius says that this is a preview of our day of judgment, when all excusing of ourselves will be out of the question. After death, there's no more excusing, and there's no more excuses either. And then comes the moral of the story. Our Lord says, quote, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart," Matthew 18, 35. And we've given a number of reflections on forgiveness before, but we'll just recall a few points here that we should keep in mind. The first thing that our Lord wants us to take to heart is that forgiveness that we receive from God, the forgiveness that we receive from the Lord, needs really to change our whole perspective on life. We can and we must forgive those who have offended us. Why? Because God has forgiven us of all the sins that we've confessed and repented of. And forgiveness means letting go of feelings of vengeance and malice and self-righteousness and releasing our offenders to the Lord. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, he says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse or mistreat you. As you wish others would do to you, so do you to them," he said. And forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. You know, the feelings do need to be addressed and dealt with at times and even healed from at times, yes. But forgiveness is a choice. Even if I still feel terrible about something that happened to me, I can still choose to forgive. God will give us the grace and he'll give us the strength to do that. The Lord doesn't command the impossible. Whatever he commands, like forgiveness, he'll make it possible for us to do it. With God, nothing will be impossible, said the angel to Our Lady in Luke 1, verse 37. And our Lord added in his preaching, he said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God," Luke 18, verse 27. So with God's grace, forgiveness is always required because it's always possible. Forgiveness is also a beautiful act of humility, and it's one of the seven spiritual works of mercy, too, to forgive offenses. Someone has said that we can't change our past, but we can change our attitude about our past, and we can change our understanding of our past, and we can change our future by becoming the person that God created us to be. And God wants us to be children who practice constant forgiveness. When we suffer unjustly, especially if we're baptized, when we suffer unjustly, then our sufferings are actually a participation in the sufferings of Christ. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, he says, "You are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So when we suffer, it's actually Jesus who suffers with us, and he suffers in us as well. And God will not only wipe away the tear of every eye from his children in heaven, as we read in Revelation 21:4, but he'll also reward us according to the sufferings and the injustices that we've patiently endured here in this life. So forgiveness means, among other things, not rehearsing in my mind all the wrongs that have been done to me. I release those wrongs to the Lord. I don't rehearse them. You know, we say rehearsals are for actors and actresses. You know, they aren't for people who need to forgive. Forgiveness also means not desiring vengeance. At times we can and should desire justice, but not vengeance. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. He says that in Romans 12, verse 19. Forgiveness also means not bringing up people's sins and mistakes from the past all the time. Why? Well, remember what our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Right? Matthew 2, verse 12. I know I don't like it when people throw my sins and mistakes from the past in my face. I don't like it when they do that, so I shouldn't do it to others. Plus, the Lord doesn't do that to us either. He doesn't shame us and throw our past sins in our face. And as we've noted in other reflections, forgiveness doesn't always mean having to reconcile with our offender. Sometimes reconciliation is not a wise or a healthy thing to do, especially if our offender is a habitual liar or manipulator or abuser and they haven't sincerely repented of their ways. Reconciliation is possible when both parties are repentant. So we need to maintain wise and healthy boundaries with people who still are unhealthy in how they behave and in how they treat us. So in closing, we'll just remind ourselves that forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift that we give to others, and it's also a gift that we give to ourselves as well. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, it's a lot easier, it's a lot healthier to forgive than it is to hold on to unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, anger. And we're able to forgive. Why? Again, because God has forgiven us first, and he's also given us the grace to be able to forgive those who've wronged us. As we said before, our Lord never commands the impossible, and he makes possible whatever he commands. So may Our Lady grant us the grace to have a forgiving heart, as she always had during her life, and may she also grant us the wisdom to know when reconciliation with our offenders is a wise thing to do, and also when it's an unwise thing to do. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen. Amen.